Well, we have come into God's house to worship the Lord, and He is here. He promises to be here. Isn't that wonderful? He promises to be here because we're gathered in His name. Are you ready to worship God? Are you ready to praise Him? We're going to now prepare ourselves to come into His holy presence as we turn to His word together in 1 John chapter 1. Let us read together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us come into His presence as we pray.
We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Let us forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. From Psalm, the 42nd chapter, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Let's stand together this morning as we sing Majesty. Father, we do come to glorify You. Now come to our service and enter our hearts that we may know You more. For we ask these things through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's sing together. He keeps me singing this morning. It's a good Baptist.
Awesome truth that He is our friend, and yet He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the most glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And we affirm now our faith in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. O Heavenly Father, we come to extol the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Glory to You, praise to You, honor. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Lord, the G8 summit is just a blip in history and in the universe, because all the kings of the world, all the leaders of the world will someday bow and someday profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. O King of the universe, thank You that You are our friend. Lord, thank You that we can draw our strength from You. Thank You that we can trust in You. Thank You that You give us everything we need, including our challenges. And Lord, we face so many. You know the secrets of our lives. You know the pleas that we bring before You now on the throne. And we ask You, Lord, to touch our bodies when they are in need of healing, to be with the doctors as they diagnose and help us through healing, to be with our relationships as they are challenged in so many ways. Be with our financial world, Lord, that it not control us. Be, Lord, with our wisdom. May we make wise decisions so that when people see how we live this life, they see the wisdom of the Lord in us. And Lord, when they see us, may they see you as our friend, one with whom we can speak honestly, with confidence, knowing that you understand and that you love us anyway. And Lord, I pray every person in this room will have that kind of relationship with you. Jesus, reveal yourself to every person here that they may know that you are their brother, their friend, yet their Lord, their Savior, their healer, their comforter, their redeemer. Thank you, Lord God, that we have the awesome privilege of worshiping you now and always this side of heaven. And Lord, I pray that we will do that in such a way that you will be pleased. Not with just what we say or sing, but with how we live to your glory and honor. And I pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Scripture this morning from the Old Testament, the 13th Psalm. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes and I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Amen. He's been good to each and every one of us. Let's stand together this morning as we sing, We Praise Thee, O God, our Redeemer. Let's stand. Our great Redeemer, we truly forever praise you. Now enter our hearts and our minds as you reveal the meaning of your words to us and help us apply them to our lives. Bless now the speaker and the message that he has, for we ask these things in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
The last time we were sitting on the side of the mountain and listening to Jesus deliver his words called the Sermon on the Mount, he started shaking things up because he started altering the Mosaic law. He said, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. And he didn't say it once, he said it five times. Last week we only dealt with the first one, and that was anger. Anger being as bad as murder. And this week we're going to look at the other four and see what he's going to do, where he's going to take us. Our New Testament lesson today begins in Matthew chapter 5 with verse 27. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. Yes, Lord, I've heard that. In fact, Moses had that on the tablets when he came down off the mountain, just like he did murder, Lord. I know all about that. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Yikes. Lord, adultery is punishable by death. Can a guy even look? Yes, you can. You can look. You just can't lust. Looking is normal. Lusting is not. Lusting is a deliberate, intentional looking. It's pornography. Pornography. It's invaded our culture. Invaded it. If Jesus had meant the normal condition of just looking, every man in here would have to flee to the wilderness and not even think about it. And not just the men. I mean, this was a society where just the men were often talked to and counted and held accountable. But you know what? This is for all of us. All of us. But as was his habit, Jesus twisted the knife. Because in verse 29, he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. That is radical surgery. There was a logging camp in the state of Washington. It was hard work cutting those trees and preparing them to go down the chute from the top of the mountain all the way to the river where they would take their trip to the mill. That chute had water going down it to help those logs, and those logs were enormous trees with the branches cut off. And when they went down that chute, they made an incredible rumbling noise. It was kind of a game that the loggers liked to play at the end of the day after the whistle would blow and work was finally over. They liked to get in that trough where that water was, and use it as a great big giant slide, and slide down that trough into the river. It was fun. Whoopee! You could hear them yelling all over the mountain. So one day, the whistle blew, work was done, and one of the loggers got into that trough, and he started down the trough having a time of his life, but something quite unexpected happened. He got his foot caught in an opening in the trough. His ankle got buried in there, and he started trying to dig his foot out, and then to his horror, the warning sound came at the top of the mountain that another log was on its way. How could this be? Work is over. It must be a mistake. But then he could hear the rumbling of this log coming down the mountain right towards him. It meant certain death. What was he going to do? So he grabbed a hatchet by his belt, and he cut off his foot, and he jumped just in time to safety. Radical surgery. Rather than face certain death, Jesus made it clear he took sin seriously. If you have a habit, an association, a pleasure that could lead you to sin, then you need to take drastic measures and you must cut it off from your life. After all, Jesus Christ allowed himself to be cut off completely because of your sin. Anger, lust, Lord, I can't take any more. But he keeps on going. He's not through with us. He continued. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital infidelity, unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress and anyone who marries and divorces a woman, a divorced woman commits adultery. Well, this one is absolutely loaded. This one is loaded. We don't have time to get into all the stuff that's behind this one, but let's talk about this a moment. The society of that day had various attitudes about divorce. The Greeks had one idea about it, the Romans had another idea about it, and the Jews had another idea about it. And the Jewish guys who were listening to this Jewish rabbi talking to them knew the divorce law very well. It was on their side. Why? Because if they wanted to have a divorce, all they had to do was to present their wife with a little piece of paper saying, "I divorce you," in the presence of two witnesses. There, done. Easy as that. What were some of the reasons that they could present that little piece of paper to the wife? These are actual examples. If she spoiled his dinner with too much salt, if she talked to other men on the street, if she cried too much, if she spoke disrespectfully of his parents in his presence, if she quarreled or made trouble for him in any way, I don't want to even know what some of you guys are thinking right now. And Jesus isn't done. Verse 33. Again, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Now, to a devoted Jew, taking an oath on the name of God was binding. Binding to death. However, there were other kinds of oaths. I promise you by the name of Jerusalem that I will do thus and so. I promise you by the hair on my head. I promise you by the heavens. These were not binding oaths. But Jesus said, don't even go there. And I love this next part. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. I love that. Oh, I wish all Christians could live by that sentence, by that directive. I wish that you and I and all Christians could trust one another that if we say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. I'm sick of this society. Commitment is just a thing of the past. Who cares? Yes, I'll show up, and you don't show up. Yes, I'll get the job done, and you don't get the job done. I've worked in churches for many years. And all the years that I've worked in churches, I've heard it over and over and over. Let's get volunteers to do that. Let's get volunteers to do that. Do you know how hard it is to find one volunteer whose yes is yes and whose no is no? It never seems to want to work. Seldom seems to want to work. Most volunteers don't take the words of Jesus seriously. Let me tell you about Bobby. Bobby was 14 years old. One day his dad came home from work and he was chuckling. And his dad said, I got pinched for speeding on the way home, but my friend Jake down there at City Hall, he fixed the ticket for me. Bobby turned 15 years old. He was riding in the car with his mother, and she backed into a tree, and boy, did she do a number on that back bumper. And she said, that's all right. We'll say that we were downtown in the parking lot, and somebody hit us and drove off, and we'll get the money from the insurance company. Bobby turned 16 years old, and one night he heard his grandfather and his uncle talking, and they were talking about the good old days, and the grandfather said, "I made $1,000 on the black market selling cars." And the uncle said, "I had a cash-only business. Why give the IRS my money?" Bobby turned 18 years old, and he applied for financial assistance to go to college. His parents lied on the application about their finances in order to make it look like he really did need a scholarship, which he did receive. And then he got to college. It was harder than he thought. He was failing math. So he bought the answers from an upperclassman to the final exam. But he got caught. And he was expelled. And he was sent home. And his mother cried out, "You are a disgrace! I can't, but why did you do that? This is not the way we raised you." Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And remember, when we confess our sins, he knows the secrets of our hearts. So far, Jesus has convicted us of anger, lust, divorce, and lying. And he wasn't even talking to the people of the 21st century. If it were today, he probably would take every television show off the air. If it were today, he'd probably close down the multiplex theaters. Full of anger, lust, divorce, and lying. What else is he going to attack? Verse 38, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth." I mean, just take a moment and feel the pain. "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles." You know the Roman soldiers could do that. The Roman soldiers could come along and say to the Jewish person, "Here, carry all my gear. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Now the expression "an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth" is one of the oldest laws in existence. It was written 2,285 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And it appears in the Old Testament several times. It appears in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Sounds pretty bloodthirsty to me, doesn't it to you? Pretty bloodthirsty. But you know what? The gore that I envision when I think about that was not the intention of that law. Here's why. For one thing, it came into existence because they had a much more difficult situation to deal with. You see, thousands of years before, when this law came into existence, if one member of the tribe hurt one other member of the other tribe, then tribal warfare was the result. The entire tribe went to war, killing one another, devastating one another. So this law came into effect to address one person's sinning against one person and dealing with just individuals. It's a little different. Besides that, it wasn't designed to be taken literally. It was designed to hold that one man responsible before the whole tribe and take him to the judge. And for the judge to be able to make a good judgment. It was a deterrent, obviously. And third, well, I already said it wasn't carried out literally. So Jesus was not promoting gore. Jesus introduced a new spirit of this oldest law by imploring us to exercise non-resistance and non-retaliation. Lots of people are like an old crow. There was an old crow in town, And he was a grumpy, ornery, mean old crow who protected his territory at all cost. And people watched him every day, this irritable old bird. He would fly around town and he would attack and do battle with anybody who, any other crow that invaded his territory. And then he would come back to his perch every day, exhausted and bloodied. And the people were just amazed as they watched him because, you see, every day he flew to the same house and attacked his reflection in the window. Please don't be offended by what I'm about to say, but there are a bunch of senior citizens in this room, and I'm one of them. Do you know what one of the most common descriptions is of senior citizens? Grumpy old man. Grumpy old woman. I cannot tell you how many times Elizabeth and I have had private conversations and said, "Don't ever let me be like that." Are you a grumpy old crow? Do you enjoy fighting battles of your own reflection? If Jesus were preaching to some old crows right now, he'd probably say, "Go the second mile. Turn the other cheek. Quit attacking your reflection in the mirror because you're miserable and you're making everybody else miserable too." Let's be sparrows. I like that one because God promises to take care of the sparrows. I don't know about the crows, but he promised to take care of the sparrows. Or even better, Jesus might have said what comes next in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that?" Then he closes the whole thing with this zinger. Verse 48. "Be perfect." Did I get you, Lisa? Did Jesus get you? "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Thus the title of this message, The Perfect Christian. Now, we apparently have a huge problem. Not even Mary Poppins is completely perfect. She says she's practically perfect in every way. Jesus tells us to be perfect. How in the world do we deal with this? Well, here is some help. The Greek word that Jesus used here doesn't mean what it appears to mean. The word is teleios, and the word teleios means complete or completeness or maturity in the sense that something reaches the level for which it was created. Like this, a seedling becomes a tree. And so it's teleios. It's mature. It's complete. A child becomes an adult. So the child is teleios. The child is complete, mature. A student becomes a professor. And is teleios, mature, complete. So what Jesus is really saying to you and me is, grow up! Grow up! Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, God wants you and me to mature, to grow up in our Christian walk, to be ever more like Jesus. Now, you've heard this expression, what would Jesus do? And some people just kind of gloss over that because it's a fad and they don't think about it. But it's a good question. It's a good question for me, and it's a good question for you. What would Jesus do? Brothers and sisters, I want to say that our anthem, our commitment should be that others would see Jesus in us, that they would hear Jesus in us, that they would feel the presence of Jesus in us, the joy of Jesus in us, the contentment of Jesus in us. We're going to pray in a few moments as a conclusion to this sermon. But we're not going to pray in a traditional way. We're going to sing the prayer. And here is what we are about to pray. Before we pray it, I want you to know that you're saying this to each other. You're saying this to the Lord. And you're saying this to those who need to know the Lord. Listen, I have one deep, supreme desire that I may be like Jesus. To this I fervently aspire that I may be like Jesus. I want my heart his throne to be so that the watching world may see his likeness shining forth in me. I want to be like Jesus. Oh, perfect life of Christ, my Lord. I want to be like Jesus. My recompense and my reward that I may be like Jesus. His Spirit fill my hungering soul. His power all my life control. My deepest prayer, my highest goal, that I may be like Jesus. Let's stand and sing it together. That I may be, I want to be like Jesus. Verses 1 and 4. To that, everybody should say a very hearty amen. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus give? If you really meant what you just said, give like Jesus. Let us be seated. Father, we thank you. We thank you, and we give now to you with cheerful hearts, and we ask that you would bless this offering, these tithes and gifts to your glory and to build your kingdom here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in power.